Radio Prague News.
The President of the European Commission is due to arrive in Prague on Tuesday evening for a short visit. A court has ruled that a former senator for the Civic Democrats is not too ill to serve a jail term for corruption. And the police have recommended that a charge of attempted murder be filed against an influential Prague businessman. The President of the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, is due to arrive in Prague on Tuesday evening for a short visit. Mr. Barroso will be welcomed by the Czech President, Miloš Zeman. On Wednesday morning, the two officials will raise the flag of the European Union above Prague Castle. The move will signal a marked change from the era of the previous Czech President, Václav Klaus, who refused to fly the EU flag. President Zeman will also sign an addendum to the bloc's Lisbon Treaty, enabling the creation of a rescue fund, which is also something that his Eurosceptic predecessor refused to do. A former senator for the Civic Democrats must begin serving a prison term, a court in the North Bohemian town of Chomutov ruled on Tuesday. Alexander Novak, who was also a former mayor of Chomutov, had been avoiding going to jail on health grounds. However, the court found that he wasn't too ill to serve a four-year term for corruption. Police arrested Mr. Novak at his office shortly after the court's verdict was announced on Tuesday and brought him to Pankrac prison in Prague. The police have recommended that a charge of attempted murder be filed against influential Prague businessman Roman Janošek. Mr. Janošek was arrested last year after, in a state of apparent inebriation, knocking down another driver and speeding away. He currently faces charges of intentional grievous bodily harm. The businessman, who's believed to have been close to former Mayor Pavel Bem and other politicians, could face up to 18 years in jail if found guilty of attempted murder. The state attorney is due to decide on how to proceed in the case by the middle of next month. The Czech Republic and other European states share a view of the conflict between Palestine and Israel, but they can't reach agreement on how to achieve peace in the Middle East. The Czech Minister of Foreign Affairs, Karel Schwarzenberg, said after a meeting with his Palestinian counterpart, Riyad al-Maliki, in Prague on Tuesday. Mr. Schwarzenberg said he agreed with his visitor that Palestine should become a real state, but he said the two differed on tactics. The Czech Republic is commonly considered an ally of Israel and in December was the only EU member to vote at the UN against granting observer status to the Palestinians. The number of native speakers teaching English or other languages in Czech schools has fallen sharply since the 1990s, idnes.cz reported on Tuesday. The news site said that young foreigners are less interested in spending time in the Czech Republic, while schools can't afford them and are also more selective when it comes to hiring. An annual report from the National Schools Inspection Agency says the share of native speakers in schools today is almost imperceptible compared to the 1990s. The weather, it should be cloudy with snow or rain in the next few days. Temperatures are expected to reach a maximum of 6 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Jan Richter. Coming up in today's program, the senior coalition Civic Democrats plan to ease the government's austerity drive. Then the Czech Health Ministry unveils its plans for the reform of psychiatric care. And later, we meet Italian businessman Carlo Capalbo, the creator of the Prague Marathon. He recalls trying to explain the concept to the city's authorities.
They did not know what was this kind of events. For them, a marathon was 100 people sweating and running through the fields.
All that coming your way, so please stay with us. The ruling Civic Democrats have, for the first time since forming the current coalition, begun to change tack on austerity. The once dominant dried-up centre party, which has taken a hammering in opinion polls, wants to lower taxes for employed pensioners as well as offer new tax write-offs for companies. The plan, however, puts the party at odds with coalition members Topo 9 in charge of the finance ministry. Jan Wallinger has the story.
After 2 years of austerity measures, the centre-right Civic Democrats have done an about-face, planning tax relief worth some 2,000 crowns for the country's roughly 100,000 working pensioners. The government raised their ire several months ago when it scratched existing tax relief. In response, many made use of a loophole, suspending employment for 1 day to file more favorable taxes.
As pensioners, we try to work and help the state in different ways. This, I think, is a dirty trick.
Now, the Civic Democrats appear to have backtracked, suggesting that toughening conditions for employed pensioners was a mistake. Trade and Industry Minister Martin Kuba.
For us in the Civic Democratic Party, it didn't seem like the most fortunate of decisions. We agreed to it in negotiations on the austerity package with our coalition partners.
But Topo 9 deputy leader and finance minister Miroslav Kalousek is having none of it, seeing poll numbers behind the announcement. It is lost on no one that poll after opinion poll has shown the Civic Democrats plummeting to last or near last place in the Chamber of Deputies, if elections were held today. Finance Minister Kalousek.
I refuse to go back and forth on the issue only because the Civic Democrats are nervous about their popularity in opinion polls.
That said, it is already clear the Civ Dems will find fertile ground for their proposal among the leftist opposition, at the risk of antagonizing their partners in government. Social Democrat leader Bohuslav Sobotka has already indicated members of his party would back any relief for working pensioners, and it is just as likely the proposal will get backing from the communists. The Civic Democrats also don't want to stop there, but to push for favorable tax write-offs for firms investing in or upgrading, for example, new production technology. Machinery bought could be written off faster, significantly helping firms. Changes the party would like to see in place by the beginning of 2014. In anticipation of next year's elections, the Social Democrats themselves have already made clear one of their main incentives, to significantly hike taxes to 38% for anyone making over 100,000 crowns monthly. The Communist Party would go still further, raising individual taxes to 40% for anyone making 83,000 or more per month.
Jan Wallinger with that report. Coming up next, the Czech Health Ministry has released the first comprehensive plan for a new reform in psychiatry. The ministry is planning to decentralize psychiatric care and individualize the approach of mental health professionals. Critics, though, are worried that the planned changes will result in more patients falling through the cracks. Masha Volinsky reports.
Psychiatry in the Czech Republic has long been underfinanced and undervalued, receiving only 3.5% of the health ministry's budget, with average spending on the sector among EU countries being 8%. The demand for psychiatric care is growing fairly quickly, particularly in the case of outpatient care, according to the director of Prague Psychiatric Institution Bohnice, Martin Holý.
The number of people seeking psychiatric help has grown by 50% in the past 10 or 11 years. The main increase is in the number of patients with anxiety or depression-related disorders, which are related to lifestyle choices and most often result from stress.
The first awaited step of the planned mental health reform is seemingly superficial. Almost all of the 13 psychiatric institutions or lechebne in the country will change their name to psychiatric hospitals. Many practitioners claim that this will help improve the status and break the stereotypes often associated with psychiatric care. The main focus of the reform, according to its proponents, will be to offer a more holistic approach to mental health, offering not only medical treatment, but also helping patients lead balanced everyday lives. There's currently a lack of facilities and specialists at hospitals to help patients with mental health disorders who do not need to remain in an institution. The health ministry is hoping to improve psychiatric care facilities for outpatients, creating so-called local community centers that would address various needs of patients in their immediate surroundings around the clock. According to Dr. Holly, who is a strong supporter of the reforms, the ministry plans to open one such center per approximately 100,000 inhabitants.
We plan to decentralize a large part of psychiatric care, making it available in the place and at the time that a patient may need it, at 24-hour local centers. And the specialized facilities will stay open for those patients requiring more intense or long-term care.
Hospitals and the ministry have also led successful negotiations with insurance providers, who should in the future cover at least some psychiatric treatment for outpatients. Critics of the reform, many of whom are leading experts in the field, say that the anticipated changes will happen too quickly, leaving critical and long-term patients without sufficient care. Some have voiced their fears that the existing long-term care facilities will be closed down or will have to drastically limit the number of patients before alternative facilities can be secured. Another point of contention is the expected cost of the reform, which is currently estimated to be at least 6 billion crowns. The ministry plans to draw this amount from EU funds over 7 years, starting next year if the reform is approved in the next few months. The details, though, will be decided on by the government and later the parliament.
Thank you, Masha Volinsky, for that. You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Over a couple of beers with a friend, the Italian businessman Carlo Capalbo dreamt up the idea of organizing a marathon in Prague in the mid-1990s. He explains how it grew into a highly ranked event involving around 10,000 people, half of them from abroad, in this week's edition of In Focus with Ian Willoughby.
Next Sunday, over 12,000 people will participate in the Prague Half Marathon, the precursor to the internationally renowned Prague Marathon, which takes place in mid-May. The man who's made possible these events, and many more runs around the Czech Republic, is Carlo Capalbo, an Italian businessman who's been living in Prague for over 2 decades. When we met at his busy office near the centre, I asked Carlo what he'd been doing prior to moving to the city.
My last position, I was head for Europe. At that time, we talk about Western Europe, because all East Europe was managed through Vienna. I was head of a company that is called World Perfect. I don't know if you remember. At that time, it was the second largest company in the world after Microsoft. And I was a member of the board of World Perfect International. Then in 92, happened that Europe changed, the world changed, and I felt which I consider myself a good social and political observer of the reality. I was a bit surprised, and I felt that on the other side of the former wall, there was a lot to discover. I wanted to discover and come here and see what was going on, not only and purely for business reason, but just for pure curiosity.
I was reading that you wrote a book about how to do business in this part of the world in Italian for Italian readers. What were your own experiences of doing business here in those days?
When I started to write this book, at the beginning, the idea was to create an intelligent, let's say, investment guide for European entrepreneurial year. I choose the Italian because it is the language I master better than the other. But this book started as an investment guide, and then I enlarged the scope, and then at the end was not only an investment guide. In fact, even the title, Prague, the Other Spring, was self-explaining, was a presentation of this new beautiful country from an investment point of view, but as well from a pure touristic or social or political point of view.
But tell me, what were the challenges for instance, Italian business people investing here in those days?
Well, the challenge in 92 and 93, we in the country, Czech Republic, I talk as we because I consider myself Skoro Czeski, as you say. We were flooded by so-called consultants full of studies and so on. So from one side, there was a huge enthusiasm from the Czech people to discover and to do and to create. From the other side, there was a big invasion of these so-called consultants. So there was a reaction, a kind of closure by the people. And for me, as a foreigner at that time, the difficulties was a bit the old bureaucracy, a little bit of corruption, of course, because the former regime, by definition, generated corruptions. But I was enough lucky or enough good to achieve what I had in mind, also because the final goal was not only a pure commercial, profit-oriented goal, but was something to improve the society as a whole and to give to the country a better stage in Europe.
So how did you hit on the idea of starting the Prague Marathon in the mid-1990s?
Well, like everything in the world, in the life, start by chance. But then sometimes you have a need and a goal inside. The occasion was that a friend of mine, which is a gold medal, Olympic gold medal, and winner of Boston and New York and a few other things, came to visit me. Of course, the first time when a friend comes to see you, you go for beer. I mean, this is one of the best, well, in fact, for me, it's the best beer in the world. So after the first or second beer in the late morning, he asked me, Carlo, why you don't do a marathon? I mean, in order to do a marathon, you should have a background, and Prague is a fantastic background. You should have a sport tradition. In this country, there is a big legacy by Emil Zátopek, even though at that time Emil Zátopek was completely forgotten, was not known by anybody. And third, the fact that there is a space, there is not any such event here. And so that's how I started. We called Mr. Zátopek, and then together we went to see the mayor. And we express him the desire to do an event, New York Marathon-like event, I mean, to create an European and New York City Marathon with the same model. Of course, the people at the administration were completely shocked because they did not know what was this kind of events. For them, a marathon was 100 people sweating and running through the fields. So there was not existing, the industry was not present. I mean, there was not mass participation in the way it is right now.
How long did it take the Prague Marathon to become the event that you had envisaged?
Yeah, not yet. It's not yet what I have envisioned. Of course, we made a big step. We were just lately quoted 4 weeks ago as the best organization in the world, which is a miracle because we don't sit in New York, in London or Tokyo, so we don't enjoy in terms of infrastructure, professionality, what you can enjoy in London or New York or Tokyo. But on the other side, we have a team extremely committed and with a lot of passion, and I believe with the focus and discipline you can reach or you can compensate, let's say, the lack due to the size of the market and to the place where you live. I would to add something else. Living here and doing business here compared to London, Berlin, Milan, New York and so on is a lot more human. So that is an aspect that for us is extremely important.
Some people who've been to Prague but perhaps haven't seen the marathon here may be wondering, is Prague a suitable place for a marathon? A lot of the streets are narrow, there are cobblestones. Are there particular challenges geographically?
This is a question you should ask to IAAF, that is the Federation, and IAAF declare Prague one of the top 10 events in the world. Yes, Prague, it's of course it's easier to do a marathon in Berlin than in Prague due to the, you know, the urbanistic aspect of the city. But that is also an advantage because starting and passing through and ending in Staroměstská in the center of one of the most beautiful cities in the world is an immense asset.
How much is the success of the marathon linked to Prague's general attractiveness as a tourist destination? I was reading more than half of the participants are from abroad.
Yeah, altogether in our Run Czech project, which includes the marathon in Prague and many other events, we have a total of about 24% foreign. Most of them, they come for the marathon and the half marathon. So in the marathon, we reach 50%. Of course, Prague play a big role, but we have also people that come back here. So that means that more and more it's counting the organization and the quality and the service the runners receive and the beauty of the event more than just a general tourist interest. Of course, this helps.
My last question is, why do you think the idea of the marathon has such a place in people's minds as this great achievement? Is it because it's a difficult thing to do, but it's also achievable?
I think that this regards a little bit more the society of today's. We have some degenerated aspect in the former West. So, in general, the people, how they feel and they need some clean, healthy, simple, positive activities. This is a worldwide tendency. Particularly in the Czech Republic, the boom that basically started suddenly 5 years ago is also due to the fact that in the country, and then is perfectly justifiable, in the first 15, 20 years, the families, the individuals, they need to keep themselves with material comfort, means beautiful cars, beautiful house, beautiful phone, and so on and so on. And then they start to ask themselves that maybe that is the time to do something for themselves from a physical point of view, from a psychological point of view. And the marathon is the mama of all the challenge. The marathon is not only a day, it's a few months before on which you train, you share with your friends, colleagues, families, and you prepare yourself and you clean yourself spiritually and psychologically, and then you achieve it. That is an immense help for all everything else you do in your life and your self-confidence and for your physical and mental health.
Ian Willoughby was talking there to the founder of the Prague Marathon, Carlo Capalbo, in that edition of In Focus, which brings us to the end of our English language program today. Just a reminder that all our programs are available online at radio.cz, and you can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. If you have any comments or questions for us, you can easily get in touch. Contact us at email at english@radio.cz. or by post to Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.